Good morning, everybody. I'm gonna move here, but while you got all your vocal cords warmed up, there was another milestone happened on Easter Sunday, other than the resurrection of the Lord. Michael Vrabel had his 70th birthday, so I'd like to sing happy birthday to Michael. Ready? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Mike. Happy birthday to you. Okay. Thank you for that. Hopefully that'll take away some of my nervousness. For the online, we're going to start again. I moved over here so you don't see as much of my back this time as you have last time. So I'll move over here. And the control's right there, so I'm going to be very careful with that when I advance it. Today we're talking the thousand-year reign of Christ. We're going to start in the same reading that Dan did in Revelation 20. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6 to kind of get us set up. And again, a lot of this is for the online. Chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 1 says, "Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand, and he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And he threw him into the abyss and shut it and sealed it over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time." Verse 4, "Then I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony of Jesus and because of the word of God, and those who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received the mark on their forehead or on their hand, and they came to life and reigned with Jesus for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection." Verse 6, "Blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. Let me start us off with prayer. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to look into this thousand-year period and thousand-year reign, Lord. Help us to have insight, to see why you wrote this, why it matters, and most of all, to be able to apply it in our daily lives and have concern for those who do not know your Son, Jesus Christ. Guide me, Lord, with the words, choosing them carefully to honor and glorify you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. First slide, okay? So when is the thousand-year reign? When does it start, okay? Based on, we see in Revelation 20, we see that Satan was bound. Okay, it's at the end of the Great Tribulation. There's a destruction of all wicked. So remember, when the tribulation period takes place, there's going to be a large battle. We know it as the Battle of Armageddon. And basically, sinners will ally with Satan, and they will be destroyed. Now, there will be people living at the end of the tribulation, and we'll discuss that a little bit later. But all unbelievers, those who have not accepted Jesus Christ, there will be none left at the end of the tribulation and going into the thousand-year reign. Also, when it will take place, we mentioned Satan will be defeated and thrown into the abyss. That's in Revelation 20, verses 3, for 1,000 years. I don't have a full understanding of why he's released again. I just think you put him in a bad place, just leave him there, okay? But God has a plan, okay? And the other thing is, Jesus will rule on the earth with believers, okay? And he will live and reign, and the believers will live and reign with him for 1,000 years, okay? Why 1,000 years? Why not 1 year? Why not a day? Why skip this 1,000 years? Why don't we just go directly, you know, pass go and collect the $200 and keep right on going? You know what I'm saying? Why 1,000 years? Hopefully I'll give you a little bit of insight here, okay? The next slide, we'll move to the next slide, and it says the purpose of this 1,000-year reign. We saw that Satan will be bound, okay? Because when Satan's bound, what cannot be promoted all the time? Sin. Sin cannot be promoted. Also, when Satan is bound, the world, he will not be able to rule the world, and it will free humans up to have a little bit more choice, and they won't be under human or political, so they won't be ruled by man or by political authority, okay? They will be ruled by God, all right? The we will all worship that. We'll all worship God, as we see in Isaiah 2, you see up there verses 2, that all the nations will stream to it. Where are they streaming to? They're streaming to the mountain of God. That's where God will reside. They're going to worship. Look around you. See empty seats today? Not a lot of people streaming to worship God today. A lot of churches are empty. There's a lot of opportunity for people to visit and worship God, and it's not taking place. In the millennium, that will take place. People will be seeking to be obedient to the Lord. Jesus will reign on the earth, okay, and based on Isaiah 2 verses 3, we see that he, that's God, or Jesus, may teach us concerning his ways, and we that we may walk in his paths. We also see in verse 4, it says that Jesus will judge between the nations. He will render decisions for many people. And as you'll notice in a lot of this, you'll see a lot of this is where? Is in Isaiah. Isaiah has a lot of the prophecy. A lot of people think that's Old Testament. Doesn't apply today. Wrong. Okay, so a lot of this you're going to see is in Isaiah, believe it or not, and we're in Revelation for our scripture. Okay, in Isaiah 42:1, he says, this is Jesus will bring forth justice to the nations. Couldn't we use justice today? A lot of injustice is taking place, and many times it takes place with the idea that justice is being promoted. We see also purposes. Back down one. Let me try this. I'm going to do the negative one. Okay. So the promises. We're continuing with the promises right here. The world will live in peace. We don't have that today. There is no. I hate to break. There is no lion will lie down with the lamb in Scripture. That's not in Scripture. There is a lot of other things that you don't necessarily expect to see. For example, that, I've jumped ahead here. Okay, so let's hold on. The world will live in peace. No, we're okay. Isaiah 6, 11, verses 6 through 9, we see the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion, the cow and the bear will graze together. The only grazing takes place now with the cow and the bear is the bear is grazing on the cow, okay? But there's not a whole lot of they'll graze together. And the nursing child will play by the hole of cobras. You won't see that today. We see in Isaiah 32:18 that the people will live in a peaceful habitation. Wouldn't it be nice to live in a peaceful habitation? Okay, good. I didn't think I did. All right, thank you. Okay. All right. So the next, it's temperamental. I'm not going to be critical of Dan anymore after touching that thing. All right. Justice and peace will be administered by the rulers. In Isaiah 32:1-2, we see that a king will reign righteously and the princes will rule justly. Typically, when you had a king, he took advantage of the people, and the people he assigned positions, his princes that reported to him, they took advantage of the people too. There was no ruling justly in that point. Each of these, meaning the king and the prince, will be like a refuge from the wind and a shelter from the storm. So when it's windy out there and there's storming, think about the 1,000-year period where it'll be peaceful. There will be a new heaven and an earth. We see in Isaiah 65, it states that there will be a new heaven and an earth. The earth will be replenished. It will be very productive. We also we see that we will be glad and rejoice during that period. We'll also see the longevity. As you look through the lineage of the biblical characters, you see a lot of years. As it goes down, you see less years. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us we won't live more than 120 years. We won't live more than 120 years. The longevity during this 1,000-year reign will increase. There will... we'll have no fear. Micah tells us, in Micah we see that that everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Typically under the vine or the fig tree, I see that as a relaxing period where you can kind of relax and enjoy the fruit of your labor. And as noted here, and they will not, we will no longer be afraid. There are many things today. Pandemics make us afraid. There's political and financial ruin. There's physical health issues that can make us afraid. During this time, we will not experience that. There will be no more wars. We see in both Micah 4:3 and a parallel verse, Isaiah 2, verse 4, that the hammer, they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning forks. Never again will they train for war. Never again will they train for war. Isaiah 2, 4 says, never again will they learn war. Okay, they won't learn war. Some people are brought up, that's all they know is war. We're fortunate enough in this country to have peace. We do have some exposure to war, but typically our militaries address that. And I praise the Lord for those who are in the military and serve this country. We see that there will be no disease and disabilities. And we see again in Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6, basically we see the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. The lame shall leap like a deer and the tongue of the dumb will sing. Well, I could use that for singing for today. It says, for waters shall burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. What this is showing you is that it is plenty. Things are plentiful. People are healthy. There's not a lot of the disease. There's not a lot of the disabilities that we see that in some cases born defects. We won't see that in the 1,000-year period. So we've covered some of the promises. I only touched the tip of the iceberg. There are a lot of promises out there that God has made that are going to take place in this 1,000-year period or 1,000-year reign. The other thing that other items that are being addressed are covenants, okay? There are several covenants that God has made to the people of Israel, and he is also made to Jesus Christ. One is, I wasn't touching it this time. Okay, it says, basically the Palestinian covenant, it's also known as a land covenant. That's when the land will be restored to the people of Israel. The land will be given back to these people during this time. And Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10 says that, and they will gather again to you from all the peoples of where the Lord has banished them. Ezekiel 34:13 says, I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land. So what's going to happen in this period, you'll see in the next who's going to be in this period. The Jewish people will be restored to the promised land of Israel. They'll be restored. There will be Jews living during this period. We also see the Davidic covenant, and this is the covenant that was made to David from God to Nathan the prophet, and then eventually to David. And basically it said that he would provide him a kingdom. 2 Samuel 7, verse 16 says, your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne will be established forever. We do know that Jesus is from the lineage of David. Okay? So that throne is continued. That was the Davidic covenant. Also, then there will be a new covenant, and this one is more to, again, to the people of Israel. This is made to them, and it says in Jeremiah 31:33, it says specifically, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel, again to the Jewish people, after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. God is making an unconditional covenant with the Jewish people, and they will seek him as they did in the Old Testament times, okay? Okay, who will be in the 1,000-year period? Only believers. When it starts, there will only be believers. We talked on the Caught Up event. That was the people that were raptured out were people of the church age that were believers. They will be there. Old Testament believers will be there. Tribulation believers, as we noted in the Revelation reading, that were martyred for God, for Jesus, they will be there. Okay, so those, and they will have immortal, they will have resurrected and immortal bodies. So they will have a completely different body than the believers who came through the tribulation, lived through the tribulation period, and entered into the 1,000-year period. Now, the believers, this group here, this first group, they have the immortal bodies. They're the ones that will reign with Jesus. The rest of them will live with Jesus. They won't reign. They will live with Jesus during that time frame. Do I need to do something? Okay, all right. The rest of them will live with Jesus. So there's a difference between reigning and living. So those who have the resurrected and immortal bodies, they're the ones who will reign. The other ones have mortal bodies. Remember, they didn't die, so they don't have a resurrected body. And they're going to be in this period also, okay? So we've seen all the caught-up believers, the Old Testament, tribulation, Old Testament, and the tribulation believers, as we noted here. They will be in the 1,000-year reign. Excuse me. They will be in the 1,000-year period. And these the ones that lived through the Great Tribulation, they will also be there. Several things that will take place, difference, and I'm going to back up just 1 minute, try this back button. Okay. These believers that live through the Great Tribulation, they have the ability to procreate. They will have children, grandchildren. They may even be your children or grandchildren or your great-grandchildren, but they will keep producing more people, okay, so they will procreate during this period. The ones with resurrected bodies and immortal bodies, no. They have a reigning position, and we'll see in the next slide what are our responsibilities there. Go up to the next slide. It says, okay, what are your responsibilities? The responsibilities that you get will be based on your rewards, okay? We read in Revelation 20 verse 4, this was specifically to the tribulation believers who were martyred. It says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. And then we went down to 20 verse 6, which is all the other believers who had been Old Testament believers and who had been in the caught up event. Those were there, and they will be priests, okay? They will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years, okay? So you have our role will be that we will be priests and we will rule with the Lord. The scripture does not give specific details on what we do. What I try to do is, what did the priests do in the Old Testament? They taught the people the commands of God. They directed them in the ways of God. They did the sacrifices for the people. I believe there will be some of that, and I believe that there will be a lot of other work that we will be doing for the Lord, because these new people won't necessarily be believers. They are going to have to make a personal decision, just like each one of us has to make a personal decision to either accept or reject Jesus Christ. Okay, so the rewards. Rewards are based on works done for the Lord. They'll bring rewards or faithfulness to God. We see in Matthew 25, 14 through 30, this is the scripture relating to the slaves. The master's going on a journey, and he leaves his, he's going on a journey, and he's leaving his slaves in charge, and he gives them 5 talents to one, 2 talents to another, and 1 talent to a third. The one with 5 returned 5. The one with 2 returned 5 and 5 more. So he ended up with 10. The one with 2 returned 2 and 2 more, which was 4, and still 4. And then the one that did 1, he didn't return anything. 1, he buried it. Basically, the commentaries are saying that basically he was trying to keep that to himself. It's off the record. If the master didn't come back, he had that talent. The 2 that were productive, they get a compliment from the Lord, which is, verse 23, well done, good and faithful slave. The one who did not produce anything, he got a bad rating, I would say. He got a bad rating. He called him, you wicked and lazy slave. We see also that slave is thrown into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. The only place I see weeping and gnashing of teeth is away from the Lord and in the lake of fire. That's where I see that in Scripture when I look at that. So that's works done for the Lord. Faithfulness to God, we see faithfulness to God, we see specifically, and I probably should have left all of this under works and faithfulness, combine them together. Under the faithfulness of God, we see the story of, first off, we start in faithfulness to God. The master's leaving. He has 2 slaves. He leaves them in charge. One continues to do the master's work and take care of the work of the other one. The other one starts to abuse people and just pretty much live his life. When the master returned, he compliments the slave that did what he was supposed to, and he gives a poor rating. Put it this way, he condemns the other one, and he also is sent. He's discarded. He was sent to judgment, okay, which was the place of weeping and gnashing of teeth, because he did not do what the Lord wanted him to do. We see also in before I get to 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, we see in Proverbs 16, 2 and 3, it says, but the Lord weighs the motives. We think everything is clean in our own sight, but the Lord weighs our motives. So even if you're doing something good, what's your motive? You need to be careful of what your motive is and that you're doing it for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15, and I recommend that you look at these scriptures afterwards, because I'm only hitting the high points. We're talking, and now if any man builds on the foundation, okay, that foundation is Jesus Christ, okay, with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, basically they will be evaluated. They'll be evaluated through fire. So when you look at up there and you see gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, if you throw fire in there, some of those aren't going to make it. Okay? The wood, hay, and straw are not going to make it. So what's left, the gold, silver, and the precious stones, that is what will be your rewards. You'll get rewards based on that. Now what is interesting here is this is all believers. This is for all believers, because we note in verse 15, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved. So what we're talking about is the difference between salvation and works. Salvation is the free gift that God gives you for taking and accepting Jesus Christ as a payment for your sins. The rewards that you do after, okay, after you've accepted Jesus Christ, those, the good things that you do for God, that's will be classified as reward. Some people want to think you get it the other way around. You do your rewards first. Well, guess what? You did nice things. That's great. That's good. That helped the world out. But it's not for your rewards before the Lord, because at this point you haven't accepted Jesus Christ. So once you accept Jesus Christ, then your reward tally sheet starts building up. Rewards don't save you. It's a free gift through Jesus Christ. Okay. Feel like I should be asking questions. Okay, what about sin in the thousand-year reign? And I want to go back to the scripture in Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9. It says, when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison and will come out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore. And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. So I'm going to take a little bit of a step of faith here. When I read this, there's going to be sin in the 1,000-year period. People are exposed to Jesus, they're taught the word, but they still either don't completely accept or they don't make a decision to accept. And when Satan is released, they find their ally and they get with Satan and they go against the camp of the saints. Who's the camp of the saints? Camp of the saints are all the believers, okay? And God destroys them. We don't see a long battle process there. Probably took a little while to get together. But we don't see God destroys them with fire. So all those people are gone, okay? Okay. So you have a high overview. Believe me, there's a lot more going on in the millennium than I can give you in 28 minutes at this point. So I'm trying to wind up here. That I could give you in that time period. The question is, where will you be during the 1,000-year period of reign? Okay, where are you going to be? Have you accepted God's love for you? John 3:16, I think, is a very succinct, short, brief gospel message. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's no strings attached. Believe that God died for you, that Jesus died for you. That's no strings. You got that. It's your decision. That's the beauty about God. He lets us make the decision, okay? Your decision. And John 3:18 tells you, he who believes in him, that's in Jesus, is not judged. But he who does not believe in him has been judged already. If you don't believe, you're already judged. And because he has not, why is he judged? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So the consequences, it's your decision. You have the right to make that decision, but you also have the consequences. We're not a nation of consequences anymore. We just want to make a decision. We want everybody else to make it better for us somehow. The consequences is in Revelation 20, verse 15. It was in the reading portion of it. And 20 verse 15 says, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Those who reject Jesus Christ are thrown into the lake of fire. They're going to be separated for eternity from Jesus Christ. They're going to have a not a very good existence. The judgment here that we see in Revelation 20 verse 15 is recorded in Scripture as a warning for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. Here's where you're going to go. This is where you're going to end up. It's also a challenge for us believers. We know they're going there. What are we doing to keep them there from going there? What are we doing to keep people from going to Jesus Christ? We know we get rewards. Those rewards, anything you do for Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when you gave me a cup of water, you were doing my work. When you helped me, you were doing my work. When you did a kind word, sent a card, made a good, set a good example at work through your godly actions, those are rewards. So we know what the warning is. We also have the opportunity to divert people from ending up separated from Jesus Christ. So that's our challenge. It takes to force us into looking into things. This is a high overview of your word and what you're going to accomplish in 1,000 years, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see the need around us. Help us to recognize the things that you promise in that 1,000-year period that we don't have today, Lord. Help us to promote it where we can. In other words, promote no fear. Promote peace with our neighbors. Help us, Lord, to just promote you and talk about God a lot and pray to God and look for guidance each and every day. I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ. My destination has been determined through him. And I ask, Lord, that you would help me to utilize the gift of the Holy Spirit to live according to your commandments and to honor and glorify you each and every day. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.